This is the Aftermarket Radio Network.
Well, hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Auto Repair Marketing Podcast. I'm your host, Brian Walker. My co-host is Kim. And today we have with us Wayne Marshall, who is the CEO of the Institute for Automotive Business Excellence. And we're going to be talking about storytelling and probably a few other things as well. But before we get into it, I want to take a second to thank our sponsors. This episode is sponsored by ShopBoss. You know, other shop management software makes you work, but ShopBoss works for you. Are you ready to convert clients to members? AppFueled specializes in creating custom apps tailored specifically for professional auto repair businesses. Visit appfueled.com to get started today. Keep your shop top of mind on the mobile device they love. Well, hi, Wayne. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Honored to be here.
We are grateful to have you with us today.
I remember being at Mars recently. So here we're recording this at the end of September. So really, it was the beginning of September that we were there, wasn't it? Just a couple weeks ago, actually. I don't know that you know this about Brian and I, but we were both Story Brand certified guides for several years, the whole Donald Miller Story Brand thing. So when you started talking at Mars, I remember Brian and I, we were looking at each other and then looking at the great workbook that y'all put together for the event. And I was like, this is fantastic because you spoke on the first day and then we were opening up the second day. And Brian and I both were like, this is playing perfectly into what we're going to be kicking the day off with tomorrow. So it was there that Brian said, we got to get him on the podcast. So really excited. I know we both have had, all three of us, we've had some busy weeks and glad that we were able to find some time to get it on the schedule. So really, I know you're a very busy man. So thanks for spending some time with us. I want to kind of start unpacking this episode by really, I'm not sure that people know a lot about your long years in the automotive industry. Maybe some do, but I think that it would be great for you to just start out by sharing a little bit about your, specifically your marketing history. Where did it come from? When did the whole idea of helping people tell their story come from?
First, thank you for this opportunity. I mean, as we have gotten to know each other and work together on different things, and obviously we even have mutual clients that we work together on. Yeah, it's great to work with people who are supportive of the industry as you guys are. Your background, Brian, especially talking about your time and some of the people you've worked for in the industry that's got us to where we are both here today. And similar, I kind of came into it in a very different way. I mean, I worked for a manufacturing company, and at that manufacturing company years ago, we were creating different point of purchase displays, other materials in support of, I mean, obviously the retail industry and what have you. And some of that came into play with starting to work with NAPA. I mean, that was one of the first places where I got more, exposed to in creating brake displays and, you know, an alternator display that sat on the counter at the parts store, or even would sit on the counter of the service center. And through that and some of the things that we did and being in the sales and marketing side for the manufacturing company and doing that for all the years, I just got to be exposed to a lot of things. One day, like everybody who runs a service center, the best tech goes, you know, I think I could run my own shop and do my own thing and do it as well or better than the current people I'm working for. And that was kind of how this all started, in that I sat down one day. I did have a partner at the time that we started talking, and we said, you know, there's some places and spaces here that we think we can service within the automotive space. So that's how we got started. And yeah, had the opportunity to start my own marketing company. Started that in 2011. Got out, sold part of it, and then sold the rest of it, and semi-retired a few years ago, which we'll get through all that. But in that time period, yeah, no, it was a pleasure to work with people like NAPA Advance and others who were, you know, Dorman Products. I can go down a list of others who supplied too. And working a lot on that, you know, distributor side and retail side or wholesale side with those different entities. And at the time of my departure, yeah, we were not quite, we didn't quite hit $10 million in revenue. had offices in four states, and then had the opportunity to say, well, you know, I had a good run. Maybe I want to sit at home for a bit. That didn't even last a year. And I tell this, and I've said this story to more than one person, and that going home and being kind of retired was fun for a while, because I started in the spring, honey-do lists, all the summer projects, and then winter comes. And now all of a sudden you're kind of going, I can't be outside and I can't do this. So I did. I looked about, how can I give back? What are some things I can do? So I started looking at some different options, and coaching was one of them. Talked to some different coaching companies. Ended up settling in with the Institute. Ended up working with Cecil even. Cecil said, you know, you've got some experiences and maybe you could come help us. We want to really change the company. We want to really change what we do, not only for our clients, but what we can do for the industry. So yeah, after working with them for a little bit, they, good, bad, or indifferent, said, hey, maybe you can help take us even to another level based on your past experiences, what you've done. Would you be willing to be our CEO and help us through for the next few years? So that's what I've committed to do. And it's been so much fun to get back with friends in the industry, seeing old customers, clients, others. I mean, I was just, as you can see, I was just at ASTA with you guys, and to walk around the floor and to see people that, yeah, I don't work with directly today, but we worked together in the past on projects, and that was just such a joy. We're so blessed to really work in a very rich and really great industry when you think about what we do. When you think about all that, and then it's easy to pivot, because as we're all doing, you went into what you do because you wanted to give something more back to the people in the industry. You were at the shop level, you did that, but you saw what wonderful opportunities you could do, and I could touch and change so many other people's lives than just doing my own. Hearing your story, it went into it. And that is the power of storytelling. Because just as we sat there and we were talking there at Mars, I know Brian and I were talking more, and he was sharing his rich history of what he did, being a tech, people he's worked for, people we knew in the industry to get into where you are today. That's what gets connection. You didn't spend any time, Brian, as you and I talking about, well, let me tell you about the services we offer. We get it. We can all talk about the facts, the figures, I mean, all those things. But at the end of the day, what becomes very powerful and impactful is your story of why you did it, which makes a very personal connection that starts to move the needle. And as you know, and as I shared at the Mars conference or intensive for what we were doing, we talked about the statistics. And, you know, there's been a lot done, especially on the adult learning side. When we're young, our heads are still open. Man, we can just fill our heads with knowledge. But as we get older, our heads are more full, at least mine is. You guys probably have more space. But me, my head's full. But what do you remember? I don't remember all the facts, but I'll remember the stories. And they have done research that it's at a 22 multiplier. You remember a story more than you ever remember facts. Now, that doesn't mean, as you know, from a marketing and our part, you know, when I was in the industry, you still got to tell the warranty. You still got to share the facts. We do brake jobs. We do this. We offer 36-36 warranty. We do. Those are the facts. People need to know it. But what resonates and what's connecting is when the owner and people start telling a story of why. And that's what was so great, Brian, when you and I were talking, you shared your whys. Why you did what you did and why you got to how you got to where you are today. And as I've been asking, you shared more of where your goals are and aspirations of where you want to get to. And that I remember more, nothing about Kim and you and I were talking. You're still, well, we do this and here's our services and this. That's all good. I remember it too for the most part, but it's what Brian and I were talking about, different things and sharing that really resonates. And then I find to be very cool.
I think one of the most powerful examples that I can think of that is, you know, Kim and I have known Cecil for a long time.
I remember literally where I was standing, and it was at the summit. We were out. It was the first summit that we went to, and we were standing outside on like this outdoor balcony area right before the cocktail hour. It was very deeply personal stories that Cecil and I were sharing about our childhood and our histories and how we got out of that and how we've gotten to where we are today. But Cecil and I, like, I would say that our relationship, I don't know that he would say the same, maybe so, but I feel like he loves me like a daughter. And I call him in my head kind of my automotive father. But I know a lot of other people that have said that too. He's like a father to me, but we just connected deeply on a super personal level where we found some common ground from our backgrounds as children and just how that's played out today. But yeah.
That came out of Cecil telling his story, like on stage. And that was one of the most powerful talks that I've ever heard.
But it wasn't his business story as much. It was his personal life story where so many people feel like, oh, you don't talk about that in business. You know, that's too personal. That's too deep. That's too full of mistakes or trauma or whatever. But he just laid it all out there. And that's what Brian is saying. Like, he told his story and I connected to it. And so that evening, I just kind of went up next to him and started that conversation. And it all comes from him opening up and being vulnerable. Speaking of Brene Brown, you know, the power of vulnerability. But yeah.
When I had my own company and I was managing more people and the manufacturing and stuff, I tell that story a lot because, you know, everybody sits there and says, you know, I'm going to go home. And before I walk in the house, you know, I'm going to hang my hat of business. I'm going to leave it outside. I'm not going to take it home. I come to work. Everybody says, leave your problems at home. Don't bring them to work and this and that. And I tell people all the time, I says, you know, what makes me who I am are all these things I do. I don't know. I've never been able to do that. I've never been able to separate this or this. It's the fabric of my life. And that fabric and all those threads is your job, what you do, how you work. I mean, along with all your personal things and your hobbies, your friends. I mean, all of that intertwines. That's our life. Now, I have burdens. You have burdens. We all have different things that we carry from different times. We talk a lot about that from a vulnerability standpoint. It's correct. I mean, if you can't have some understanding and extend some grace, it gets really hard. I used to tell some of my middle managers years ago, when I was younger in the manufacturing company, I'd go, you know, threats and intimidation is a management style, and it will work for a while. But if you really want to create longevity, threats and intimidation is not the way to go for a management style. There's other things, and you need to have a little bit of understanding, show a little empathy, show, extend a little grace, not to the point that they abuse it, because you're not there to do that. You still have a responsibility. But you know, and I know there's days I went to work and sure, maybe I had some cross words with my kids or, you know, had a cross word with my wife before I went. My day doesn't usually start the best. And then there's other days I went and everything was great. Kids were joy at times, as most kids can be from time to time. And you go to work happy. And how does your day start? I mean, it's hard to just say, and that's why you're right, that opening up yourself a little bit. And that's why the power of your story is so impactful. People want to work with people they like. I mean, think of some of the best relationships you have, be it with service providers or stores that you go to or restaurants. We all have that favorite waitress or waiter that takes care of us, that if we go to this restaurant, I want to sit with Sally because you know, and you had a connection with Sally. And it's no different in the automotive space. I mean, we need to think about it instead of just going, well, here's your estimate. Let me know what you want to do.
One thing I hear often from people within the industry, but also outside of the industry, is how all shops are the same. I mean, I hear shop owners saying, well, we're just like every other shop. We all work on cars, but it's the individual story of the shop, how it came to be, the company culture, the history, the experiences that the shop owner and their team have gone through that helps people to connect. Brian and I think, I'm speaking for him, so he can jump in here and say that I'm wrong, but we have this wild story of bankruptcy in our history. So if people that have just met us within the last couple of years become friends with us on Facebook, they see the after. They see the renewal, the restoration, the return of everything that we've lost. And they think, oh, wow, their life looks amazing. And they're really killing it over there. But they don't know unless we tell our story and continue to tell the story. So I think sometimes people forget about the retelling of it and the power and the impact that, yeah, you create this great video that you put out there one time and then you never share it again. So I want you to talk to that, like the power of retelling it, but also what would you say to the shop owner who's not doing it at all right now? Like, how do they get started? What do they do?
Your story is your hidden, it is your hidden superpower, because when you can sit and articulate, and everybody has a story. Now, you might not think your story is that big of a deal, but a simple example, I always ask the shop owner when they go, well, we're no different than anybody else. I said, well, tell me in the last 6 months, okay? If you don't think you're any different as an owner, tell me a story of where one of your employees went above and beyond. Did something unexpected. And it never fails. I start talking to them a little bit and they go, well, yeah, we did. We had a person came in. It was 5 minutes before we were closing. Their tire's flat. They need their car back because I got to take the kids back to school. And, you know, John said, don't worry about it. Brought the car in, fixed the tire, put a new tire on, whatever it might be that was an easier fix. Sometimes you can't, but stayed 30, 45 minutes to an hour after close, got it all done, got the person back on the road and going again. Well, I said, well, there you go. There's your hero story. You just gave it. That was a differentiator because there's a lot of people in town who would have gone, I'm sorry. Thanks, Brian, for coming in right now. We can get on it first thing in the morning, but you're going to have to leave the keys. Can I give you a ride? Okay, at least you're being nice and you're giving Brian a ride home. But what did we just do when we changed it into a hero and we made Brian whole, fixed, and on the road yet that night so the kids could go to school the next morning? It's a simple story, but it's a differentiator. And people hear that. And as you know, and I know, as quick as people are to tell about all the negative, they're just as quick to say, oh my God, you're not going to believe what they did down at ABC Auto. I went in at 5 minutes for close. They stayed for an hour afterwards and did this and this and this for me and got me on the road. Man, I am going back there. It's a simple one, but it's usually the easiest one I use to start with is saying, you know, take that moment. And you heard me even say it at Mars. I said, you know, you don't have to write this big 1,000-word doc, but take the time to just put 150 to 200 words on paper and think about some of those things. It could be a simple hero story of that nature. It could be one about your founders or why you're doing. Well, I'm third generation. You know, I watched my grandfather and then my dad worked with him and now I am. And man, I get to carry the legacy. Family businesses are the backbone of this economy. It's what keeps this country going. It's not the Apples of the world, even though they do, but you know what I mean. I mean, the majority of people work for the small business. Tell that story because it does resonate. And people get inspiration from you guys when you talk about how, yes, you're in a down spot, but let me tell you what we were able to do. And we did it. You're going to be able to do it. We rose from the ashes and you were able to rise up above to now have the greatness of what you got today. People find that inspirational because, well, if Kim and Brian did it, I'm sure I can do it too then because they just gave me an inspiration up. So that's why you do need to retell that story because it is. It's a fabric of your life. You'll never change. Can't erase it.
ShopBoss is software built by shop owners for shop owners. Utter shop management software isn't made to meet the needs of today's independent repair shop. ShopBoss handles the needs of both single and multi-location shops with features that boost efficiency and help you build your business, like built-in DVI and VIN scanner, customizable real-time reporting, and integrated parts and labor guides. ShopBoss was built to be easier and more efficient than solutions that require a steep learning curve or complicated workarounds. Plus, with their Boss Pay Payments feature, powered by 360 Payments, you can harness the power of text-to-pay, remote payments, consumer financing, compliance, surcharge, and PayPal and Venmo payment options. Help your techs fix cars faster with intuitive inspection tools that supercharge your operations and keep vehicles cycling through your shop. Whether your goal is to grow your shop, open more shops, or just keep the one you've got running at top speed, ShopBoss has the tools you need to do the things you want to do. Independent auto repair shops, get ready to transform your business with AppFueled. It's time for your professional auto service shop to have its own customer loyalty app. AppFueled will build an app that launches a custom loyalty program for your shop in 30 days or less, fully integrated with your point of sale system. Bring Fortune 500 level customer retention strategies to your business without the Fortune 500 budget. Many shops are enjoying the benefits. Our app engages your customers with a loyalty ladder, enticing them to climb the next rung, coming back more often and spending more each visit, all with your own app. Build loyalty with your customers, to your brand, and boost your shop's growth. Get your first app in 30 days or less, all without breaking the bank. Ready to start? Let AppFueled take your business to the next level. Go to appfueled.com or meet founder Jeremy Glasgow and book your complimentary app vision session at appfueled.com/Jeremy. That's appfueled.com/Jeremy. The people who do the things like staying late to take care of the client, they fall into one of two camps. They think to themselves, oh, there's nothing special about that. Anyone would do it. Or they think to themselves, I don't want to be boastful. You know, but they're missing such an opportunity to let people know that, like, this is who we are, and this is the place that you should choose when you're looking for an auto repair shop. So what would you say to the person who thinks in one of those two camps?
I get it. And there's a way to say and share with humility, but you also need to understand that I'm going to sound a little more philosophical, but that's okay. I mean, there's a certain thing about what you don't know about paying it forward and the blessings that come. Because when you do, we're setting an example and a statement to the person who's receiving that then there's going to come a day that they can be that person. Maybe there's something, a simple thing that they can extend it because they saw the grace and the goodness of what you had. And, you know, there's a reason why, again, I'm going to get a little philosophical, but, you know, it's simple as, and I use this as an example, even in business. I mean, we always talk about how, you know, we teach our kids, we teach others, you know, be good Samaritans, give to people, help them. But you also have to realize, just as you went through years ago, you had to be receiving of and let someone else be the good Samaritan to you guys. So they got their blessing by helping you, and as you get your blessing by helping others. And you need to understand how important that is and how this cycles in life. And I know there's a lot of things out there. Everybody says, well, pay it forward. But you understand when you set the example, but then also be willing to accept it back because that's giving someone else the opportunity to fulfill their blessing and get their own.
Yeah, I love that because there's so many people out there that they will bless and bless and bless others. But when it comes time, they will not allow someone else to bless them. And somebody told us, I don't remember who it was, Kim. I'm not sure if you remember or not, but somebody told us a long time ago that, like, when you won't let somebody bless you, you're stealing their blessing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's so true.
It really is.
We were told that during our bankruptcy. It was somebody at our church in North Carolina that told us that. But I was also reminded of it reading a book, The Best Yes by Lisa Turkhurst, that was all about, so sort of similar to what we're talking about, but when you are constantly saying yes to everyone and everything all the time, you're stealing the opportunity for someone else to be blessed by doing the thing that they're supposed to be doing it that you were supposed to say no to. So I feel like it kind of goes both ways. But yeah, that was a big eye-opening thing for us when that friend very lovingly said, hey, guess what? It's actually not very humble when you don't accept someone doing things for you like that.
I love hearing some of the stories, and it's usually coming from those owners or those facilities that have been in a community, you know, 25 plus years, and some are less, but you get the range. But you sit there and you listen to the stories they start to tell, how much they did to help this civics group within their community. They volunteered this. They, you know, they're part of that, sponsoring and helping Little League teams or other groups or whatever. I mean, one of the independent service centers that I use, it's close to my house. for the things I can't do myself, like front end alignments, whatever. I'll do all the other work, but then I got to take it to him. Girl Scout cookies. The community knows that any Girl Scout that goes in there, he's going to buy 2 to 3 boxes. And he will literally has cases of them during that time. And anybody that comes in and gets a service, you pay your bill, you get the receipt and a box of cookies. Tell me what you want. And he just donates them right back to the community. Everybody knows it. So where do you think everybody likes to go because of what he does for the community? And it's not just that. I can go down a list of things that he does. And, you know, we're outside of Des Moines a little ways. So we're in a smaller community. But that connection that you bring is significant. That is all part of your story. And what it does is it humanizes you to where people connect with you now. Because now it goes from just being a transaction to where you're connecting. And whenever you can take it away from a transaction and you start to talk, and I've shared a variety of stories around this, but like, you know, people come in and they're pissed. Nobody wants to spend money on their car. Nobody wants to find out that not only is this broken, but you got to spend this and this, and it went from $1,000 to $2,000. I always say that's when you got to be the best listener that you can ever be. Let the people listen. And it's, they know you can't change it. You can't change it from 2,000 to 1,000 again. It's still going to be a $2,000 bill. But all they want is someone to listen to them. I don't know if you knew this about me, but one of the things I did for over 25 years, I officiated football from high school to college. I had that opportunity to do, you know, I mean, I've done D3, D2, playoff games, other things. I mean, and I still remember the day I was at a football game up in Wisconsin, college game. Coach was unhappy, had a penalty, backed him up. They didn't get a touchdown, had to kick a field goal. We're lining up. I'm on the sideline. He's yelling. He's pissed. He knows we can't change the call. But he's like, man, we lost all our momentum. And I'm like, great. I can agree with him on something. So I turned to the coach and I said, coach, you're right. You did lose all your momentum. He literally stopped for a moment. So I turned back around getting ready for the kickoff. He slapped me on my rear end and said, glad you understand, and walked away. All he wanted, what did he want? He just wanted someone to listen to him and he wanted someone to acknowledge that he felt like he got screwed. I gave him what he wanted. And I share that, and I've shared that in many presentations when I've done other talks, because I said, you know what sports are like and the emotions that come and how they play out on the field. At that moment, he knows we can't change anything. The customer knows we can't change anything, but they want someone to have some empathy and understanding of what it meant to them and what it did to his team. And I gave him that. I've used that technique more than once on a football field to help create some level of understanding and at least cooperation that we're here to do the right, we, you know, the best we can for him or for them. But it's always fascinating to sit there and think about that. And I tell people when we talk about business, I said, you know, listen and try. Find a spot you can agree. Say, you're right. This is bad. But let me see what we can do to get it fixed. And I hear what you're saying. Now, I can't give it up. I can't give it to you for free. We're not in this for a hobby. But I can sure listen. I can show some empathy and understanding and try to find something that makes you feel at least more comfortable as we come up with a solution that can work.
So in the spirit of you telling stories, I'm just curious, is there a standout story that is kind of a go-to one, or you just love how this shop really nailed telling a story that differentiated them from other shops? Is there a one that you can tell our listeners about?
I mean, we talked about Tom. You know, we showed the actual video around, and it is, and as you know, in listening to Tom's story, I mean, yes, he watched his dad and uncles. He grew up in the business. But the thing that's so great about what Tom shares and what differentiates is extending himself, not only in the community, but with much greater understanding. You know, a simple thing is, as he shared the story during Mars and we talked about it, he's got an elderly woman that comes in who lost her husband. Her husband always took the car in. So he always now, as the owner, he goes above and beyond. Not one of his service advisors saying, hey, go out and meet Mrs. So-and-so. He personally goes out, greets her at the car, walks her in with her, talks to her, and takes her through the process. Now, her husband passed, not, and that wasn't just reason. It's been a couple of years, and he's still doing it. he still makes sure that when he sees her name come up for an appointment, that he is there at that shop, that he goes out and greets her, and he walks her in. If that isn't a differentiator of your story, of what you're willing to do to extend yourself and have that, you know, caring heart, that's impactful. That's the stuff that moves the needle and makes a difference in people's lives that then, you know, continues to go. But, you know, one of the things, and I know we talk about it internally, you know, Kent, who you know, Kent, but we've been discussing, I mean, there's a real difference of being, you know, extending yourself to this level or extending yourself to this level, you know, and truly having kindness and what that really means. And those are true acts of kindness. There's, you know, we're all kind and we say, oh, good morning, how are you, whatever. But how many really mean it and go to the level of what Tom just did? That's what moves the needle. That's what makes a business special.
You're right. And I love the part where you talked about a little earlier about, you know, Brian brought up the question of shops who feel like it's bragging if they talk about what they do. But y'all shared also at the Mars Intensive the story of Betty Borges at Greg Smith Automotive. And I was so excited when it came up because I had just recorded a podcast with her talking about all of her community involvement. It just came out last week, actually, and just being a cheerleader for her. And she says, I've been a mentor of hers about how to do community stuff. But what I loved was that story. You can tell your story, but have a slant on the receiving organization. And so what they did with the backpacks and schools and how that has grown over the years, they were able to tell their story, but the focus on it was how it benefited the schools and these children. And so it was just another. I thought that was one. Tom's story is amazing. And I think I almost maybe shed some tears hearing Tom's story and the way that he was so vulnerable in talking about it. But those were two that I thought were just amazing. What about mistakes? I think the biggest mistake is they're not doing it. But for the ones who are attempting the whole storytelling aspect of marketing, are there any mistakes that you've witnessed shops making that people listening can learn from, or they how they can overcome those challenges?
The biggest thing, you got to be authentic. And you can't sit here, you know, in this day and age of and how much is changing with the internet and artificial intelligence. I mean, look, let's be real. We all use it from time to time, but you have to be so careful. Because if it isn't authentic and it isn't in your words and your language, people see right through it. So, you know, it's just what makes, I'm going to pick on your Southern draw a little bit. And just as we were talking, you use the word y'all. If you all of a sudden, would you know if you were writing in a professional setting, you wouldn't say you all. But people that know Kim knows that's how she talks. So that makes it very genuine. And it makes it real to you. And now that makes it your story and not somebody else's story. And that's the biggest thing, that people try to make it too polished. And in this day and age where we want to use artificial intelligence and do all these things, I tell people there's a time and a place for that polished look and feel. But when you're saying your story and you're doing this, it's got to be you. And it's got to be very much that genuine, authentic. Try not to be something that you think they want to hear. Just be yourself. And that's the biggest thing. When I look at some of these testimonials or people write their story, and then I read it and I'm like, okay, that's a good story. But I know as you get to know that ain't you. You tried to make it for what you thought the audience wanted to hear, not what was genuine and true to you. So that's the biggest thing when you do those things. Be yourself. Just be yourself and be comfortable. You know, it's the old adage, you know, dance like nobody's looking. Just go be yourself and be that person. And people gravitate to that because in today's age, man, everything is so polished and has to be so this proper. And, you know,
it's exhausting.
It is exhausting.
Let's get super tactical for a minute. You even gave a framework at the Mars conference for, you know, how to do this. So if someone, like, they want to tell their story, they have a story, but they don't even really know where to start. They don't know, like, how to do it. you know, the best mediums to do it and all those things. Like, how would you recommend that somebody go about telling their story?
As you know, I mean, I use the, you know, story. So you're referencing back, I'm assuming, how I took the word story and just said, okay, think about it. S, you know, set the scene. You know, what kind of a story do you want to tell? We talked earlier about one that could be, you know, the owner says, I don't have a story. And I'm going to go, okay, well, tell me this. Tell me something that someone did. So, you know, you can have your hero story, so to speak. It could be your founder story. I mean, it could be other things that you do, obviously, from a civic standpoint. But set the scene. And then, you know, introduce, or what I use the word tension, because I was trying to find a word that worked good for T. But it's not tension in the aspect, but what was the tension item? What was the challenge that you were facing that you were trying to address? And then what was the opportunity, which helps to introduce, you know, the solution or your brand and what it meant, and then what the results of it. And then at the very end, I mean, then what's your next step? What's your call to action? So just as we did with Tom, and you saw that video, I mean, we started off with, and we used the tagline of every engine has a story, which fits in this industry. I mean, every car that comes in has a different issue, different problem, different story. But we ended it with that he is driven by you. You know, again, driven, but when you think automotive, and then you being the person with what he did to extend himself to, like, the woman that he meets at the car and walks in. So we went through setting the scene, you know, what was the challenge of, you know, him coming into the business as a founder, now owner of, with dad. Dad was even in the video. What the opportunities were as they have grown the business and changed it to the point where 3 locations with 40-some employees. And here's the results of it. He's grown and prospered into this great business and entity. But then if you do all that, you don't have a way to take it to the street, so to speak, through your different social media sites. It should be on your website. Should even be in the written form with pictures hanging on the wall. Because there's always going to be a time where someone has to sit there for 3 to 5 minutes while you went checked on this or you did that. Have it hanging. People will read the story. As long as you keep it short and sweet and you keep it down to that only 3-minute, 4-minute read. That's what takes it all into action. That helps to build on it and it helps to resonate. So tell your story by setting the scene, the tension or challenge that you're trying to get to, the opportunity, what the results of it are, and then obviously why, what's your next step? What are the call to actions of how you're going to use it that resonates with the consumer in your marketplace.
Later on in the conference, Laura Lee Schmidt, she was talking about story and she used terminology. I think she called it like your A story and your B stories. And your A story being that like main story about your business and how it came to be. And, you know, everything that's like just, it's the thing that makes you, you. And then the B story being all of those different stories that, you know, happen on the week to week, if not day to day basis. You kind of made a little bit of reference about this when you were saying that like every engine has a story. But I tell shop owners this all the time, that a auto repair shop is a content factory. Like, you will never run out of things to talk about, but you just have to open your eyes and see all of the stories that are happening around you on a day to day basis. And there's so many of those B stories that can be told.
Very much so. And Brian, you know it. We all know it. But, you know, when you start down this road of developing your A story, you know, your, which I would call your why, and then you get into your other stories of what you've done and how you engage with the community, or maybe did something else, the hero story, there's other stories that can go around. But you're right. They're all over the place if you just take the time. The thing that we all say, and I know you say it too, as you guys do your own marketing activity with your clients, is that, you know, a brand is built over time. The biggest thing is whatever you're going to do, be consistent. Keep working, keep sharing, keep telling, and you need to tell your why at every opportunity. You said it earlier, Kim, about, you know, your bankruptcy and the things you went through. You have to keep telling the story, because it will continue to resonate. Even though some people have heard it before, there's always some who have not. And they go, oh my goodness, you went through all that? And here you are today? That becomes inspirational to someone else who they think I'm not trying to belittle their problems or anything else, but they go home and are going, wow, that was a great story. I can do this. I can rise up too. I just heard this wonderful story. I can do it.
There's no doubt about it. And as the one with the story, I feel like sometimes personally, I've found myself, and nobody wants to hear that again, but every single time we put it out there, I get multiple messages in my inbox that says, oh my God, I needed to hear that today. Because, and I ended up on a podcast, and then I've had other people on our podcast to talk about their bankruptcy story, because people just don't, they think it's a bad word. You can't say it. Don't talk about that. It's embarrassing. It's shameful. And so the retelling of it, I think, is just a big deal. And then you were talking, you and Brian, about the B story. One particular type of B story that I want people to think about is that shop owners think they have to be the ones, they feel the pressure of being the ones to do everything. We spread ourselves thin, get exhausted, burnt out. Every story doesn't have to be yours. Like, there are team members that you can pull into telling their story if they're comfortable with it. It brings me back to when Brian and I were selected to speak at a conference several years ago, and we had to reach out and tell them, I'm sorry, we can't speak. So our son was, well, it's not often that your kid is a cadet at West Point, let alone plebe parent weekend. And it was plebe parent weekend. West Point moved the date, and it was moved to the same date as the weekend of the conference where we were going to be speaking. And so we reached out and I asked them, can our team members teach on our behalf? And they said, look, let me check with the committee. And they checked with the committee, and the committee came back and said, no, it has to be Brian and Kim. Well, that's probably because we'd only been telling our story. People were only connecting with us, and we needed to now. And so it's been a couple of years and now we do, but we put all of our team out there and we're sharing who they are and their story so that people, like you were saying earlier, and we say all the time, helping the audience get to know, like, and trust everyone on our team because they are part of the whole story.
In the name of helping people to get to know you a little bit better, Wayne, this helped me to get to know you a little better. Tell us a little bit about the story of your BMWs. You've got, I think, 7.
Yeah, I got to make sure my wife's out of earshot of me, or I'm going to be in trouble.
One of them that you showed me, if I'm not mistaken, is a 60s BMW.
No, 73. Yeah, the green one. Yeah, it's all original. Yeah, very pristine.
73, original paint. It is absolutely beautiful. So just tell us a little bit about that.
I got into, back in the 90s, I just kind of got into the BMWs. And I've had newer ones. I've had old ones. Now everything I have, I don't have the new ones anymore. They're getting way too pricey. But no, the old ones are starting to get pricey too. But no, I've just always really liked the 2002s. I have 3 of them now. The nicest one is that I found this original one. I'm only the 3rd owner. It was sitting in a warehouse. It's the old barn find. It was sitting in the back corner of a warehouse. It hadn't been ran for years. It had 80 some thousand miles on it. It was owned by a doctor who drove it through medical school. But it literally probably been sitting there for 10 plus years. Obviously, it's not running, but everything was original. The Kugelfischer, I can go on and on and on. So I kept asking and asking and asking. And finally, one day, I get a call from him. He had my number. And he goes, you know what? I always said I was going to restore it. It's never going to happen. Get it back running. You have passion. Would you like to buy it? And I'm like, well, of course. So a little bit of a challenge because I didn't want to change out the, you know, mechanical fuel injection to Weber's, which most people did. A lot of work I can do, as you and I talked. I have my own home shop and 2-post lift, 4-post lift. I got all the things. But when it comes to that Kugelfischer and timing the cam for the fuel injection and the way all that is and high pressure, it was a little hard to find the old tech who can do what you need to do. So yeah, from Des Moines, Iowa, I drove it all the way up to a shop in Appleton, Wisconsin. They only do work on older Porsches, Mercedes, BMWs, and Volkswagens. And that's where I got to, and to get it, took it up there, had them do the work. But then I just started saying, well, that one was fun. That was my first one. And then I went to others. And yeah, today I have in different stage of runnability. Yeah, I've got a couple I'm still restoring. But yeah, I have seven. She thinks six. I got a seventh one. Oh, she just said I heard that.
We'll be sure to send her a little gift. That is funny. I don't know how many projects Brian Walker has out there, but I swear there's a different one that I see every time. And he just, I don't know if he posted this on Facebook himself or if he sent it to me in a private message, but it was something along the lines of, I think it was a cartoon and it was about, gosh, now I'm talking about, I don't remember how it went. You just posted it like yesterday, I think, and it was just start a new project. Like, he probably has a new project going out there.
Yeah, it was the meme about how to finish your project car. Yeah.
Just start a new one.
Get a new project car.
My problem is I'm not home enough right now to do near what I want to do. And I'm hoping this winter I can spend a little more time in Iowa than have to be in Utah. So I can spend a little time out in the shop. And I got plans to get I have another 73202 that's down to the interior's all out. Engine's done on a stand, but I got to get the body really going and buttoned up. Once I get a good coat of paint on, and then I can slowly start putting pieces. You know how it is. I start putting pieces back on and get it going. But I got to get that bodywork finished and painted. But no, you got to have projects and you got to have those things. I hear what you're saying about everything, about staff and your story. And I tell people all the time, you got to keep telling your story. Just as you talked about Cecil at the beginning, I've heard the story. I still enjoy hearing it again. And a lot of it is, and again, not trying to sound all philosophical, but I mean, people draw hope and strength from your stories. They really do. And you just don't always know when it's going to touch this person in a way to give them hope. Because as we got one of our clients, he unfortunately was going to be at Mars, but a week ahead of time, He broke his foot, his ankle, and couldn't travel, had to have surgery, had to have a pin. And it's hurting his business. But like I told him, I said, this too shall pass in the perseverance. But the great thing about his story now that I'm hoping to use when he heals up and we want to use him at the Institute, because when he was down, he had friends, because he's a BMW guy also. That's a lot of what he does is BMWs and Europeans. But he came from the dealership. Some of his friends from the dealership came on the weekends and in evenings and finished cars and did work for him that he couldn't do. And he's like, I couldn't believe how that people would do that for me.
Well, it says a lot about him.
That's what this industry is. If we do and we extend ourselves a little bit, there's some really, really great people in this industry who just give and give. Can't get an argument out of me.
Give us the really quick elevator pitch on the Institute and how somebody would get in touch with you if they wanted to.
Well, obviously, we are theinstitute.com. Can take you to the website. You can obviously, once you get to there, you can navigate through all the different tabs and see what's going on with what different things we're having to offer. We've got a lot of exciting things going on. In the next 4 to 6 months, there's going to be multiple announcements of restructuring. We'll be launching additional new companies that are going to be out there that's going to be supplemental to and supportive of what we do at the Institute. I can't be happier with how staff and all of us are coming together, but we're growing. We're changing a lot and we're excited for what we're going to be able to do. So I tell people just kind of hang on. It's time to giddy up and we're going to get there and just wait for the next announcements that are going to start coming out here in the coming months. With the things that we're going to be doing and new things that are coming out, it's time that we really want to change some of what we're doing in this industry to truly be ones who give back and make it better. And anything we can do, be it for you guys or anybody else, I tell people, let's talk. Never hurts. It doesn't cost anything to talk. And if we can help you, great. If it doesn't work, do you want to do more with us? That's okay too. I'd rather have the conversation and see what we can do than not. And just assume, you know, that never worked. So yeah, wearetheinstitute.com, or they can always hit me up at wayne@wearetheinstitute.com. Happy to talk to anybody and everybody and pay it forward. That's what we got to do more of. Let's just keep paying it forward to make this thing even better than it is.
Well, thanks again for being on today. It was a great discussion. For all of our listeners, really appreciate you listening in today. Remember, we are just one of a handful of podcasts on the Aftermarket Radio Network. You can find the others at aftermarketradionetwork.com. I hope that you will listen in again next week. And until then, go fill those bays.
You've been listening to the Auto Repair Marketing Podcast with Kim and Brian Walker. Follow the podcast on your favorite listening app. Find their emails in the show notes and visit them at shopmarketingpros.com. Let Kim and Brian know what you want discussed, because they're all about advancing the aftermarket.